Hello and welcome to another episode of In the Margins. My name is Eli and here with me today is Anne. Anne is a visual artist and Twitch streamer who spends her days playing GeoGuessr and Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel. Is that five? Six?
Four.
I can't read. Four.
If I is in front of the other letter, then it's that letter minus what's in front. So it's a five minus one, so it's four. It's weird.
That is weird. I don't understand Roman numerals. I used them for music and that was it. You can find her on Twitch at Auroria. That's A-U-R-O-R-I-I-I-A. And she knows Roman numerals, apparently. I do not. How are you doing, Look, Anne?
I'm here. I'm ready. I got a migraine, so my brain is half cotton in my brain. But that's fine, you know, life's just like that. So you take it and you run with it, and I'm here, and then later we're gonna play some video games. So whatever, man. You just gotta roll with it.
You just gotta roll with it.
Yeah.
I think if I got a migraine, I would probably just lie in my room. But then again, you get them all the time, right?
I get them, like, almost every day at this point, and they're not severe, so they're not, like, the most people think of migraines, or they think of, like, the ones my dad gets, where it's, like, blackout yeah. curtains, no sound, no light, like, you have a heat bag, you have to just lie there. Mine are not that bad. Mine is, like, the pain is, like, tolerable. I still have to take something to help, but it's, like, a very tolerable amount of pain, which is rich coming from somebody who has no pain tolerance whatsoever, and bruises like a peach. Yes, it passes out from pain. That's also a fun thing. but no, mine are all, like, the side effects that you get with them, which is, like, the nausea, the, like, weird flickers in your vision, the, like, sensitivity to smell, sensitivity to hearing things, and, like, to light sometimes. And
you got all the
that
migraine?
Stuff, and just the confusion. It's the, like, migraines without the headache part, which are much more rare, but can be just as debilitating because they can actually last, like, the whole migraine cycle could last up to 5 days. Because you
That's
have, like,
fun.
A prodrome, which is the beginning part, which sucks, which has all of the buildup, so you're, like, really spacey, you're out of it, you're exhausted, you just can't think straight, and then you have, like, the aura, which is what people think of, that's, like, at most an hour before, which is, like, the visual things that you could see, or, like, you're mm-hmm. hearing things that aren't there, and then you have the headache, which is the actual pain, generally, and then you have the postdrome, which can also last a couple days, which is, like, a hangover for your migraine. Which is also
Lovely.
Fun. I get all of those side effects without a whole lot of the pain, so I just have a cotton-filled brain a lot of the time.
If you were in the Middle Ages, they'd be like, you've been cursed by a witch!
God, there'd be so many holes in my brain from them trying to go, we need to release the spirit, we need to release the demons, we put a hole in, and we
There are too
the
many
demons
in here!
Yeah, that's what it is. They'd put a fucking, they would do it. I never asked if I could swear.
Oh, you can.
Can I?
Just okay. As long as you're not, like... cursing
up
the storm,
you're fine. Okay, great. But they would, like, take something and they'd put a hole in your skull because they thought there were demons in your brain and they had to release them. So they'd release the pressure by putting a hole. A lot of people survived it, surprisingly. So there are a lot of skulls that you could find that have, like, holes in varying different stages of healing. And that some of them actually healed back closed again. But a lot of people also died because, you know, they didn't have proper ways of cleaning things and they didn't have proper antiseptics and anesthetics and, like...
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of that there's this one place in Japan at a shrine where you jump off of, like, a third floor or something or other, and if you survive the fall, you get a wish granted. And so people would do that. And most people survived, but most people only did it once. There was this one guy or this one lady that did it twice, and then they were like, "Okay, you gotta stop."
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that's a level of intensity that I don't think I could commit to.
I wonder, was it that her wish wasn't granted the first time, or that it was? So she was like, "Oh, I can cash in on this."
I feel like it had to be that it was, because if it didn't work, why would you try it again? unless you're like a true believer, if it did not work, you wouldn't go, oh yeah, let me try this very dangerous thing again because it didn't work the first time. You would just be, if you're a true believer, I feel like you'd be like, no, it's coming. I just have to wait. So it had to be that it did happen. And then she was like, oh my gosh. Oh damn. It's happened. I can get it again. I need it again. So that she did it again. That's the only way I could think it was that it worked.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, there's nothing that makes sense there.
No, it doesn't really. I just can't imagine being like, you know what sounds like a good idea? I'm going to throw myself off of this building and then maybe I'll have good luck.
You know, if you had me on a bungee cord, I'd probably do it.
Bungee cord.
Oh, yeah, no. I have like a horrible love-hate relationship with heights in that I'm terrified of them. So terrified. Like the full-on like the fear, the shakes, the nausea, all of that stuff. Also, I'm addicted to the adrenaline you get from doing things like that. So it's a wild adventure of like I want to pendulum jump. And do this and pendulum jump like 100 feet. That sounds amazing. And I sign up for it and I do it. And then I get up there and I'm like shaking and like terrified. And I'm like, I hate myself. Why am I doing this? And I do it and I get up and I'm like, oh shit, we're going to do that again. Oh my God. It's a nightmare. It's a cycle. It's a horrible cycle of doing it and hating myself for doing it. And then wanting to do it again. And sometimes just doing it again.
That's a very you thing to do.
What is that? How so? Please elaborate.
I don't know how to elaborate, but it just feels like a... It's like a very Anne thing to do. I don't know how else to describe it. It just sounds exactly like something you would do.
Great. Lovely. I don't... Okay, I also don't know how to elaborate on that. But that's great. Okay, I'll have to reach out to some friends and see what their thoughts are and if they could elaborate maybe, because now I'm very intrigued. Like, a lot of things where people are like, that's just Anne. I'm like, yeah, okay, I get that. You take one look at me and you instantly know what my brand is and what you could get. And it's like very easy to just pinpoint, yes, this is Anne. But that, I don't know. You've stumped me.
You're very like... What's the word I'm looking for? Like, you're very, like, someone looks at you and they already know what you're going to be like kind of person. If that makes sense.
I'm very upfront about
things. That's the word I was looking for. You're very upfront kind of person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving on. So, Anne, you're a Twitch streamer. Yes. You do art.
Yes.
What's up with that?
Great. What, you know, I ask myself that on a daily basis. The art, not as much for a while. I don't, it comes and goes. It's like, art is, one of my coworkers at one point told me, like, being like a creative person, your creativity comes in seasons like a tree. It's not always blooming. And that's kind of helped me to go, hey, I don't need to be drawing constantly. And then you have things like the past year where I don't know if I've drawn a thing since I was at your family cottage like 8 months ago. I drew a couple things because everyone else that I was with was drawing. So I was like, sure, I'm gonna draw too. But otherwise, I haven't drawn. I just need my hands to be busy. And if I'm playing a video game, my hands are busy. So I'm fine.
You've traded art for video games.
Yes, I've traded art for video games. But you know what? I'm really good at... I'm getting a lot better at strategy. I have a couple friends that would argue that fact. There are some bosses I'm not supposed to do on my own where they go, you need to make sure somebody's there with you. Because I will probably just go, I'll do this. And they're like, maybe don't do that.
That's amazing.
But otherwise, you get there. You learn things. I know a lot about ghosts now. And I know a lot about geography. One of those is more helpful than others in real life. But it's there. Try to explain.
Obviously,
I had to explain to some... Yes, exactly. Obviously, it's the ghost. You know, when we have leaky faucets at work, I could just go, oh, you know, well, it's a poltergeist. I could tell.
Yeah, obviously.
It's obviously a poltergeist. No. It's what comes up, like, we have, because we have so many patients, and with COVID vaccines, For context for people listening, I do work in a pharmacy full time as a pharmacy assistant. So we've been doing COVID vaccines for about a year now, which is wild. And we have a lot of people that come from all over that we see. And some people we have that, like, we can email confirmations and stuff to. Some people have, like, very interesting domains that I actually had one of the pharmacy co-op students that I worked with in the winter term was asking me if we could even, she's like, I don't even know if we can email to this. And I'm like, you can email to a domain. It's just like a different country domain, but it'll still work. And it was .lk. And it took me so long. I couldn't figure out what the .lk was at the time. And then they rebooked to do like their second dose recently. And I finally got around to looking at it. No, they used to live there and now they're here. Okay. So they just still have the same domain, I believe. I didn't ask, if I'm honest. I didn't fully ask the questions I wanted, but I didn't. It wasn't as important at the time. I finally got into looking it up. .lk apparently is Sri Lanka, which is very interesting. Oh. So then I had to explain to my colleagues where Sri Lanka is, because they're like, what are you talking about?
They didn't know where Sri Lanka was?
You know, that island off the coast of India. It's got the funky flag that's got like a lion looking thing on it. It's got a lot of brown and like gold orange. Just me.
I've noticed a lot of African countries. They have a lot of red, green, and gold. Yep. And occasionally black. Yep. Flags.
Yep. I don't know if there's a reasoning behind that. Because my initial thought on that was try to place those colors into the flags of the countries that tried to colonate them originally, but like a lot of it was French, and there's not very much blue, and French was it still is blue, white, and red.
I could be completely wrong, but if I remember correctly, a lot of those colors are common in like their clothes and just in their culture in general, so who knows?
Probably. It's probably from that, and like what dyes are available based on the plants and stuff they have, that's probably where they choose it from, which is why it's more like darker and like earth tone based versus like
blues and reds.
Yes.
the three different countries with various forms of blue, white, red.
Oh my god, Poland, France, Netherlands.
Yeah. There's also
Denmark.
Yeah. And then if you think about the versions of like, you know, the Switzerland and Sweden and like those guys, they have variations of like crosses and stuff.
That's not Switzerland. Switzerland's not that. Well, I guess Switzerland has a cross. But I was thinking of like the Nordic countries where you have Norway, Finland, Sweden, Denmark, that all have the same cross, just the colors are in different spots. So you have to remember which one has which color where to know which is which.
I know the Swedish one because I have a Swedish friend.
Yeah, it's mainly blue. It's easy to remember because it's mainly the, like, cross. It's mainly IKEA colors, so it is helpful in that way that they branded themselves like that. So you can remember Sweden easily. Norway has a lot of red, is what I remember. I don't remember Finland. It's just the other one that I don't know. I remember Sweden, I remember Norway, and then Denmark also has a decent amount of red, but there's no black, I think. I think Norway has black, and Denmark is just white and red.
Yeah. I'm not an expert on flags. I don't know. So you are a streamer. What got you into streaming?
I like doing things that I can chat with people, and because I never shut up, which I say lovingly, this is not me saying this as like a, oh my gosh, she was, is a loving thing to myself. I never shut up. Because it's that, I find it's very easy to just go and to just talk, and I've always enjoyed kind of that aspect of like entertaining and making stupid jokes and stuff like that. So it's like I wanted a place to be able to just do my stupid bits and my jokes and share stuff with people, and also like go through that and be able to still play video games, especially with
Go ahead.
especially with games like Trails, where half the time I'm like, I don't know where this thing is. Who is this person again? I have, look, I'm playing Cold Steel. This person I think is from Sky, or they could be from Azure or Zero, which they haven't even translated yet. I don't know who this person's supposed to be, but then I look at the chat and I have like my lovely friends that show up there and the couple people that come to watch, and they're like, ah, yeah, no, they're from Zero. And I'm like, that's why I don't know what's happening. Okay. I haven't translated that game yet. Great. Thank you.
Is there a reason you wanted to stream to Twitch in particular over, let's say, YouTube or some other streaming platform?
I think it's just how I think of them more so. Like, YouTube, I know, has streaming platforms. They're trying to get better at it, but their streaming has always kind of been put on the back burner compared to the actual videos, because it's a video platform first.
Yeah.
So, and when I think of streaming, it doesn't come first. Now, there are big streamers that do use it, so it's clearly not the case anymore. Oh my god, what's the other one that shut down? There was another one that shut down that's now YouTube Gaming. And nobody goes on there. Just don't. Mixer. Mixer's not a thing anymore. Mixer was the other one that if you wanted to start, Twitch is such a saturated platform. If you actually wanted to get a start, it was better to go somewhere else, build a platform, and then move over to Twitch. Mixer was a good way to do that, and then they sold out to YouTube Gaming, and YouTube Gaming's a disaster. And then the other ones that I could kind of remember are like art-based ones. Like there's one that's like a play on Picasso's name or something, but I can't even actually remember what it's called now. So Twitch is just the one that I know, and I know the culture of more, so I can know, like I can understand the people on it. It's such an oversaturated platform, so it's not going to go, going to be that person and blow up.
Who don't know anything about Twitch, what do you mean by it's oversaturated?
If you were to go on Twitch and search like pretty much any video game ever, there would be at least two or three people streaming it at any given time of day. And that's for like less popular games. More popular ones, you're going to have dozens. So it's oversaturated in that there's so many people on there. There's so many creators on there making content all the time, which is great because then you have a variety to choose from. But then it's also their Twitch's algorithm is really good when you're big. It helps the bigger channels get bigger, and it kind of pushes you down because it puts the big channels at the top constantly. So it's easier to jump into these streams that have like hundreds of thousands of viewers already or tens of thousands of viewers. And then if you have like one or two, you kind of stick at the bottom, and it's really hard to get even from zero viewers to one. It's so hard to make that jump already. And then from there, even just one at a time, viewers up, it's so hard to grow. So if you're going into it actually wanting to grow, I think you're making a mistake. You don't want to start this wanting to be a streamer full time. That's just not going to work. But it's also going to be, you're probably not going to have a whole lot of people that show up. You're just going to have a couple people. Like, I think, like for me, there's maybe five people at most that are not my friends that come on. And most of the time it's just two of them that I see on a regular basis that come by and we'll chat. But still, they're not there every time. They're not there consistently. They got stuff to do.
Yeah,
but it's still nice to see them.
I heard that if you have 10 consistent viewers or 10 consistent views over the course of a month, you are in the top, like, 10% of streamers on Twitch.
Yeah, it's ridiculous because, like, most people have nothing or have, like, one or two, which is why it's also so hard to get into, like, any kind of platform where you can actually make money off of Twitch, because you have to put in so much to get back. Like, I could pull up the exact stuff here, but you need to...
I'm guessing you need a Twitter.
So... Well, like on Twitch itself, anyone can make an account and stream. In order to make money off of it, you have to you have to reach certain marks where they're like, yes, it's worth putting ads and stuff on your content.
Yeah.
So you have to hit like affiliates the first step, which you have to have 50 followers blanket. And then within a 30-day period, you have to have streamed for at least 8 hours on 7 different days and have an average of 3 viewers over that entire 30-day period. And it's just one set of 30 days that that happens. So that's just to get an affiliate. And that's like base level. You have like really bad returns. Like you would have like out of the ad revenue, Twitch gets like 70%. You get like 30 or something like that. Like you get like pennies for what you do. So yeah. It's not a whole lot that you would be doing it. And then from there to partner is like way more of a jump. Cause it's like, you have to have an average of 75 viewers for partner, 12 different days of streaming, 25 hours within 30 days. So it's like, it's a huge jump from one to the other that it's like, it's so hard to even get to affiliate, which is why it's like 3 average viewers. And then from there to get to partner is even bigger. So it's not a whole lot of people that reach any of those. A whole lot of people that are on there, like just kind of get lost at the bottom and don't have anything at all. And because of the way the algorithms are set up, if you stop streaming or are not consistent for any amount of time, it just doesn't happen. Like, I know times where, like, I'd get on a roll where I'd go, like, if I went, like, every single night for, like, a week, I could end up at the end of the week having, like, an average of 7 viewers for a stream, which is great. And then I take, okay, I'm exhausted. Let's take one day off. We go back in. We're back down to 1 or 2 viewers. And those 1 or 2 viewers, those are my friends who are also my mods. So mods don't, yeah, and mods don't count towards your count for views in that stat as well. So yeah, it's a lot. It's very competitive and very, very hard to get into, but it's not something that, again, if you're going into it wanting to make money, I think you're going to be disappointed. But I go into it because I enjoy it. And it's something that allows me to do my stupid bits, even if nobody's listening, because there is a chance that somebody might go back and watch it one day or whatever. And at least gets some of that energy out of me, because with my lovely ADHD, I have like the constant motor inside of me that I have to just keep going and doing things. And video games stimulate me enough that I can keep my hands busy. I keep my like focus busy. And then if I'm getting distracted, I still have a chat that I can look to talk to a couple people as well. Even if they're not in a call with me there, at least they could be there. And then, you know, if you get got by friends and they clip it and they send it to everyone else, and it happens a couple times, I have some clips on my channel and all of them are just one of my friends. I just get got. Here we go.
So
she fell for it.
So you said that you wouldn't go into streaming for the money. So if you're not going into it for the money, what's your end goal as a streamer, or if you have one?
I don't really, because I think, again, we'll go back to my lovely ADHD brain. As soon as I set a goal of what I'm working towards, it becomes a lot harder for me to focus on working there, even if I try to break down steps and everything. So if I'm just going and seeing where it takes me, I tend to have the most luck that way. Like, it would be very nice to one day even just be an affiliate and to be able to have some people that hang out regularly, but I already have people that hang out regularly and I'm just doing it because I enjoy it. So I just am going to do it as long as I have fun with it.
I think that's a good mindset to have. Do you think that people sometimes go into it and then get really, really disappointed when they don't like immediately become famous?
I think so. Yeah. Cause there are some people that do get lucky. Like a streamer that I know, like Rambu, got really, really famous instantly. He had one stream with like 100 viewers, and then his next one had 1,000, and then he blew up. And like within 4 months, he had like 1 million subs on Twitch. He broke the record for the most subs in a month, and he did a huge charity stream and everything like that. Like, some people get really, really lucky, and like overnight, it just happens. But that's so rare. I think if a lot of people do go into it and hope for something and get disappointed, which sucks.
Do you think that something like the oversaturation and like the algorithm is something that Twitch should fix, or is it just kind of the way it is?
The algorithm, I think they're trying to work on. I don't know how much you can work on it per se, because I know, like, as somebody who streams on Twitch but then also uses Twitch, watching things, there's a reason a lot of people go to bigger streams, and it's because those people have had the time to invest and to figure out what they're doing. So then you have big streamers like Pokimane's a big one who's done stuff forever, so she has a layout, she has a setup, she has things like professional grades, so it looks nice. You're not going into some like really low quality audio that you can't even understand what they're saying, and they're not really talking to people much, and they're not really engaging. Like, you go into people who know what they're doing, so it's interesting to watch. Versus going into things and it's like, you could find a small streamer and it could be great, but it's also like, I've been in streams with really small streamers and it's great to chat, but then if I hit a point where I often will go, okay, now I just want to listen, if you were actively chatting with them, you just drop off, then they kind of hit that point where it's like, I know that they're going to a point of going, oh, what did I do? Why are they not here anymore? Okay, that's weird. I wonder if I did something wrong. And then you kind of, for me anyways, I feel bad not continuing to talk, but I'm also like, I will, like, get better typing on my iPad's really frustrating. I kind of want to just like lie down because your voice is really relaxing and I want to just fall asleep. But like, I don't want to, like, nobody else here is chatting. There's three other people here. Nobody else is chatting with you. And I would like that. I know what that feels like. And that sucks. But like, I do want to just sleep. So it's easier to like fall into the background sometimes if you're not, if you're in a bigger stream.
So would your advice be to some streamers maybe to be, I guess, be entertaining whether or not people are there?
Yeah, like that's kind of the idea of it. It's why a lot of people, you can turn off the viewer count on like pretty much every streaming software that you use. You could turn it off so you don't know who's there, and then just whether or not people are there, be entertaining. Do stuff. Whatever. I do stuff constantly into the camera when there's nobody there. You never know. Maybe somebody will see you later. Maybe somebody just showed up and they just got there and hasn't updated yet.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Exactly. So you were talking about stream setups. What goes into making a stream?
A lot. Many, many hours of trying to figure out how to use stuff. There's a whole lot of different OBS, softwares.
OBS, my nightmare.
Oh my god, don't even. Yeah, it's literally where I was going to go. There are so many different softwares that you can use. OBS is like the main one. Oh my god, that's on the wrong monitor. OBS is the main one that a lot of people use, but because it's the main and it's an open software, it's also not the most user-friendly to understand. It's a little finicky for a lot of stuff, so you kind of have to go and futz with it a lot. But then also, if you're someone like me who is like, I was a designer that I went to school for before I moved into pharmacy and other stuff, I want things to look nice. So you have to figure out what those are going to be, and then like you have to set up like different scenes for it. So it's like, if you have a starting screen that's like gonna play music, and then you have like a screen where it's like, if you have a webcam, are you just gonna chat for a while? Then do you have like a game capture or something like that that's setting up the game capture? There's like a lot of different things that have to go in to make the moving parts work, and the longer you fits with it, the more like the quicker at it you get, which is really nice. But it's still like, I have six scenes, which is not a huge amount, but like within, if I go in my game scene, there's so many little sources I can turn on and off that like, I have to scroll through the list of them. And some of them are stupid. Like, I have one in here, there's just a screenshot, because one of the Trails games, you can go fishing and the girl fished up a shark that's bigger than her torso. And I thought it was funny. So I have a button where when we go fishing, I can just turn that on and we can look at it. And then there's like overlays and stuff like that. You have to get alerts set up so that if people subscribe and stuff, it'll pop up. So it'll let you know. So it's not just like in the background and you forget about it. It can show up on stream. All of your audio channels and everything. I've overwritten my audio on my computer, so it's a bit of a nightmare, but it's all going through like a digital soundboard essentially. So there's like digital cables that I have things set up to that like all of my, Chrome. Hold on, I lost the words. all of my Chrome audio goes through digital cable B into my soundboard, and then that gets sent out at a certain audio mixing level, and then my audio from my mic goes into a different cable, and then Discord goes into a separate cable so I can mix them separately so that they're not like different levels. If you're gonna stream, you have to do videography, you have to do sound, you have to do entertainment. Like, you have to be able to put all of it together and on the fly. Like, I have things break on me constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to pray that your internet actually holds it together. And that's the part you can't really control. So sometimes you're having a great stream and then you're just like, why am I dropping 20% of my frames? And then my friends come in and they're like, hi, Anne. I'm watching a slideshow right now. What's happening? And I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Why am I a robot? And also, why are you watching a slideshow? What's going on? So to go through that, I have a new mic I've been fighting with for like a year because it's not connecting consistently. It'll just stop and I haven't figured out why.
Just for fun.
I've sent it back and got a new one. New one does the same thing. So there's something in my computer, I think, but I can't figure out what it is for the life of me. I thought I figured it out the other day. I was so excited. 2 minutes later, it did the same thing again.
Oh my god.
So it didn't work. And then I decided recently with like Pokemon Arceus that came out, I was like, you know what? Because I do streaming as a hobby, like, I will invest some money in it, but I can't invest, like, huge amounts. I have, like, a $60 mic and, like, a really cheap, like, $20 arm stand. I would love to get, there's, like, really nice, like, $500 mics and stuff like that. And, like, a Go XLR that has all the audio mixing that does a better job. And then you can get, like, a Stream Deck, which essentially is, like, a series of buttons you can program that will do things for you. So it'll change your chat settings. It'll change, like, mute and unmute stuff for you or play, like, sound bites back. So all that stuff is really cool. I decided I was going to take that money and invest in a capture card because I wanted to be able to stream, not to Twitch, to my friends on Discord, me playing Pokemon Arceus, so they could watch me play Arceus while they played Arceus. We have a bit of a problem with Arceus.
Yeah.
There's a little too much Arceus.
For context, I live with my sister and they do a call like every night, and all I see is just my sister playing Pokemon Arceus and then Anne on the Discord. I'm like, are you watching Pokemon Arceus while playing it and like reading about it? And she's like, yeah. Got something to say about it.
Yeah. But it means it's really nice, like, because we're playing the same game and we're like, oh, I don't know where this thing is. And I'm like, oh, I know where this is. So it's like, hold on. Even if I'm the only one streaming, we're like, okay, Anne, open your map. I want you to zoom on this point. Okay, now we all are looking at the same thing for sure. Now we can know that it'll work properly. We're all going to look at the same thing. It'll be great. So it's like, okay, at least we understand what's happening here. Kind of keeps us on the same page a little bit. But yeah, it look, you get a group of autistic friends together who happen to share a hyperfixation. Again, we're gonna consume the media every way possible. And if I have three monitors, there's gonna be three different kinds of Arceus on it. I don't know what to tell you. I hope you didn't expect any others. That's just how life is.
Did you ever end up getting an official diagnosis?
No, I got a call from, the psychiatry office to, like, set up, to go, hey, were you still interested in setting up that appointment? And I kind of went, no, I'm good. I just went, you know what, I don't need it officially diagnosed. My doctor went, yeah, that sounds right. And I was like, okay. And I'm like, you diagnosed? He's like, I don't know if I could, like, confidently diagnose it, but, like, that sounds right. And I'm like, you know what, that's good enough for me. Outside source validated. Yeah, that sounds good enough.
Honestly, I'm okay with that. I'm as an official autistic. I'm level three. They diagnosed me with moderate autism, whatever that means.
What?
I'm moderate. Yeah, I'm like the mid level autism boss. Like, you come across me in, like, a dungeon, and I'm, like, the guy you fight before you get to, like, the big final boss.
I think I'd put myself as, like, the quirky character that points you in the direction and goes, you can go there if you want. I don't know if that's a good idea, But, like, if you really want to, it's not my funeral. But yeah, also, but it is. But it's not my funeral.
I would agree with your doctor. I think, like, you probably have some, either, it's, you have ADHD that, like, has a lot of autistic traits, or you have the combination. It's really hard to tell. So, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
Oh, speaking.
Honestly, good enough.
Speaking of, how do you feel about self-diagnoses?
I think for a lot of people, it's a really good start. Because I think if you don't figure out that something's wrong, or not wrong per se, if you don't figure out that there's something there, you don't know what to do to help it. So I don't think it's like the end all be all. Because like I know there's a lot of doctors that are like, not
it's evil.
My doctor is very chill and very great. He's also a new graduate, so they probably have a lot better training nowadays. But I know there are a lot of doctors that are very old school, that it's like not a thing you really talk about or do, especially if you're like a person of color or a female. So it's just, it's a really good way to figure out what's going on, but I think you should still have it, like just double check it with an outside source that's not like your friend that's gonna like pat you on the back and go, yeah, sure, of course, I'll always agree with you. You need somebody that'll like sit outside and go, okay, I have some info on this, I have some medical background, unbiased third party, yes, okay. And for some people, that's easier to access than others, so like you might just end up with like a self-diagnosis for a long time if it's not something that like you need additional resources for. But like my level of autism, that is like weirdo that points you to the dangerous cave level, it's not enough that it's like I need something that will help me deal with this. So I need to make sure that I have resources in place. That's not the thing for me. The problem for me was my ADHD, where I literally couldn't focus and was like bouncing off the wall, and like my whole body felt like it was vibrating at all times. It was like, it's such a level that it was like, I need external resources to help with this. So I need to have like a doctor go, yes, you have this. Here's some medication. Goddamn, please. And then we get there and it's like, oh, I can think, I can exist, I can sit still for once my goddamn life. What? I can still feel everything that touches me ever, which is apparently not a normal thing for most people.
Isn't it?
And also, a fun side effect of Ozempic I found out recently. Side tangent, because my dad's friend, his only friend, I love him dearly. His only friend, other than your dad, because I think they're very good friends now.
They always defend friends him whenever like we mock him. They don't talk.
But that's how they both are. They both sit at home in their rooms, do their own things, and then once in a blue moon, we drag them out into the sun, and they see each other, and they go, oh, hey, how are you doing? And every time we try to mock the way your dad tells stories, my dad is like, well, I think you're giving Wade a hard time. I don't think he deserves that. God, I get it. Okay, it's fine. You enjoy just sitting there while he's drunk and rambling, because you like that. That's great. anyway, his other friend is like, been diagnosed with diabetes recently, so he's starting a new medication that a lot of people are on, as I see at the pharmacy a lot, that's called Ozempic. And apparently a fun side effect of Ozempic is that you can like feel everything that you touch, and apparently for neurotypicals that's like extremely overwhelming, to the point where they're like, I need to like lower this dosage because I can feel everything all the time. And I was like looking at him going, you used to not feel every time clothing touched your body, and also every place that you were touching furniture ever. And he kind of looked at me and went, no. And I'm like,
okay. Oh my god, is that why they're so chill all the time? They just don't feel it?
That's also why fabric doesn't bother them as much. Like, I have a thing with fabric. Like, fabric doesn't bother them as much. Like, textures. I think everyone sticks to a hot leather seat in the summer. But, like, that kind of gets to the extent of, like, having to peel yourself off that chair. Or if it's, like, a very uncomfortable thing. But, like, constantly feeling things. Always feeling tags on your clothes. Just, like, where everything is sitting at all times. And, like, every single individual hair on your arm, one of them's out of place. That's not a thing they'd feel on a regular basis. So,
dude, that explains so much.
Yeah, that's not a thing that a lot of people, that neurotypical people deal with at all, so.
That's good to know.
Yeah, So it's very interesting.
Can't relate.
Like, because I lost where my tangent was before I went to my tangent.
You were talking about the unintended side effects of a medicine your dad's friend is taking.
Of Ozempic, which is that. But then before that, that tangent started from somewhere else.
You were
else.
Talking about ADHD medication.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That, like, my biggest autism side effect is that I can feel everything my body touches at all times. My solution to that, I bought a pair of embroidery scissors, and I can expertly remove every tag on every piece of clothing ever.
Incredible.
And I also know, just by looking at a fabric, whether it will irritate me or not at this point. Just by nice. Looking at it. And I'm accurate 99% of the time. That's not for me worth something that I need additional backup. Like, at one point I was interested in having it just to prove that I did, but even just having the doctor go, yeah, no, that sounds right. I can't say for sure, but like, that sounds right. I'm like, you know what? That's good enough. Sounds right tells me, yeah, you're not just thinking about this and then like going to diagnose yourself with something you don't have because now you're convincing yourself of what's that condition people have where they think that they have diseases that they don't. Yes, I don't want to be a hypochondriac, so I want to like to validate stuff to make sure that I'm not becoming a hypochondriac. And you know, sending your friend to the ER because you're like, I don't want to be a hypochondriac on your behalf. However, please go to the hospital. I think you had a stroke. Please.
This is a reference to someone, one of our friends, and because I don't know if they're okay with sharing their identity, we won't say that.
I won't name who. I'll just say that as of recording this, it happened the night before, and it was literally like I have never felt more validation in my life than me going, "Hey, I think you said you're not worried. It's a heart attack. I think you may have had a stroke." And then they go, oh, I'm going to call my mom to confirm. And I was like, okay, please do. Goes on mute for like 5 minutes. Comes back off mute on Discord. So my mom agrees with you. I don't care what the nurses say at the hospital. I don't care what the nurses say at the hospital. That's all I need. If your mom agrees with me, oh my God, I'm right. I'm so right. Also, the nurses did agree. I called everything 100%. I just want that on the record. I'm keeping us alive here. alive. But
that's me when I was like
the hospital.
That was me when I was like, "Hey, Dad, I think I'm dying." And I was like, "You need to call the ambulance." And he's like, "No, I'll just drive you." And I'm like, "If I wasn't thinking that I was dying, I would kill you right here and right now."
I think I maybe have some like poisoning that's like going up towards my heart or something, but like
that's a different one.
Oh, that's a different one.
Yeah, for the listeners, there are three separate incidents where I had to go to the hospital. Once I went because I thought I was dying. Turns out I twisted an organ somehow in my sleep.
Oh,
I still don't understand how that happened.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one where I thought I was dying, and
lovely.
Then. There was one where I got blood poisoning, and I was like, huh, there's a red streak going from my hand moving downwards, and it's been growing. I think we should go to the hospital. That looks like blood poisoning. My dad needed to ask the two retired nurses, retired fireman, nurse in training, and a first aid person before he would even like consider going. And the hospital, mind you, was, I believe, 2.5 hours away. I asked him to take me in the morning so that we could go there, go back, and be back in time for a family event. No, we left at, I think, 6:30 or later, and we got back late at night. And they gave me a prescription, too. And it was closed by the time I came out, so we had to drive back up to get it.
I was terrified when I heard that. I just want to put that, oh my God.
Were you?
It was like, oh hey, when your sister was like, oh hey, yeah, they're at the cottage, and like, she has this weird like red line in her arm that's going up. My brain was, I was like, that's blood poisoning. Holy shit,
yeah.
She needs to go to hospital right now. Holy shit, she's gonna die. Oh my God. Well, I don't catastrophize much, but like, that was a level where I was like,
The best part, man, I went to the, I talked to the doctor, and I was like, I told him, and he was like, yeah, if you hadn't come in, you likely would have gotten, it would have gotten into my lymph nodes, into my heart, and would have died. And I was like, and this is why women live longer than men.
You don't want shit in your lymph nodes. That's all I, oh my God.
No. So this message has been brought to you by go to the goddamn hospital if you think something is wrong. We have free healthcare for a reason.
Yeah, that's my biggest push. It's like, oh, that's why I push constantly. I'm like, please, friend, you think you're having a stroke? I think you're having a stroke. Please go to the goddamn hospital. I know you had to sit in the waiting room for 2.5 hours, and this guy come in with his kid who just had a headache, and we were like, why are you here? And then another guy walked in and was like, my stomach hurts a little bit. And he's like, why are you here? And then there were two guys handcuffed with police around them. Don't know the story on that at all. And then also they met someone that was a regular at the guy's at the guy's work, which was also funny. But like, we have free healthcare. Please fuck use it. Please use it.
Yeah, please.
I have a friend that lives in Florida. Life sucks for him, and he doesn't have that. So we'll be like, yeah, I just sent him to the hospital. And he's like, oh, that's not like a potentially debt-inducing event for you guys, huh? And I'm like, no, it just saves your life, even if you have to spend hours upon hours, and you're there and waiting and delirious, and it's 4 a.m. before they send you home, and you left at 6:30, but at least you're alive.
Yeah, I had, for the time I twisted an organ, it was the night before my German exam for high school, my final final exam of high school. And I waited there for 12 hours. It took 12 hours for me to be seen. But, I got an excuse to take my German exam later, but I still got the highest mark in the class, and I did it the day of.
Yo. Nice.
Yeah, but go. Just go. Like, literally. As long as you're not like, oh, I cut my finger and I can cover it with a bandaid, you're fine. Just, if you feel something is off and you don't want to wait, go to the ER. That's what it's for.
Yeah, or go to, like, a walk-in clinic if you're like, this doesn't feel life-threatening, but it's still like, I'm concerned. Talk to your doctor. Go to the ER. Go to a walk-in clinic. Like, something, please. We have doctors. The amount of times I have to fight with my family to go, you know, that rash on your neck, Mom, that's, like, spreading and, like, really red. Maybe you should, like, call the doctor. And she's like, oh, but it's getting better. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's actually not. And then she's the next day it got worse. And I'm like, maybe, like, call the doctor now. She finally did. And then she got something to put on. And eventually it got better a little bit. But it was still, like, please, goddamn, please.
Throw back to when I got a concussion and my dad was like, oh, you're fine. You don't need to go to the hospital. I never went to the hospital when I was a kid and I was fine. And I was like, uh-huh.
I don't,
but
your dad was not fine.
Before we get too into hospital stuff, or actually, I suppose, sort of related to hospital stuff.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk about accessibility. And we were talking about disabilities in hospitals and stuff. So your job, or sort of, you specialize in accessible design, right?
Yes, yeah. I'm not a full-time designer at the moment, but, like, when I was in school, that's definitely what I focused on. And with my design work, that's always a priority to me, is that stuff's accessible. Because accessible is different than universal. Because accessible means that things are actually available for people to use. So it's like, you know, being the only one in my class to put, like, alt tags on photos and, like, mm-hmm. make sure my color contrast is good. It's really a whole lot of little things that you can do that make a difference to make sure stuff is legible or not. Also, the AODA, our lovely Accessible Ontario, I don't even remember what it fully stands for. The AODA is the rules that we have and the laws in Ontario that make things accessible. Mm-hmm. They are getting there, at least, because they had a rollout someone recently that everything had to upgrade and adhere to. But it's still not great.
Yeah.
And having the amount of times with, like, buildings and everything like that. Like, buildings are the best example. And also, like, the things that don't have ramps and only have stairs, all of that nightmare stuff. Mm-hmm. things that don't have enough color contrast. Like, there are so many things that it's like, I can't see this properly. And I have amazing color vision. I regularly do tests to make sure that my color vision accuracy is good. It's very good. And I don't understand what you're doing with this. If somebody has any amount of color blindness, they are going to be so screwed. So screwed. What is the point? If you need these specific contrast, maybe you just shouldn't be doing it. I had a classmate that did a project that we were like, you can't really see that. And he went, if you can't really see it properly, maybe it's just not for you. And I was like, excuse me? He got a good mark on that thing too, because the teachers are horrible. But I was like, excuse me? No, you can't just do that. You don't get to make that excuse of like, oh yeah, it's just not for you. No, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't
screw
be
you, colorblind people. Stuff. You don't get art.
Bad Snapchat advertisement. It was a really bad Snapchat advertisement. It was white on yellow, and you couldn't read it. It was a whole.
It was like white letters on yellow.
Yeah, it was horrible. You couldn't read it normally, and he was like, "I was like, I can't read that properly." He's like, "Maybe it's just not for you then." And I was like,
I will say right now, I have good color vision, but I don't have any good design sense. But even I can tell you that's not a great idea. Yeah,
it's
unless
not
it's like
a
really
idea.
Dark yellow.
It was not.
It was
like bright Snapchat yellow.
Yeah, no.
It was bad.
Snapchat themselves has a black outline around their little ghost thing, so.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it was horrible. But it's like, the amount of things that you need to do to make something accessible is very minimal. Color checkers exist online. You could just Google them, where you take a screenshot, you upload your thing, it puts it through color blindness tests, it tells you your contrast. Having a decent contrast doesn't make things not as good. It, in fact, actually makes it a lot easier for everyone to read and understand. It's so easy to make things accessible for people. And it's just like an extra tiny baby effort that people don't want to go through. It's ridiculous to me. Honestly, it's ridiculous.
And you as someone who has various, I don't know if they're disabilities specifically, but you have various physical and mental stuff going on.
yep.
I don't know how to phrase it. Some people don't like the word disability.
No, it is what it is. It is a disability of sorts.
Okay, because that's what I use.
I take medication on a daily basis. If I don't take it, my ability to function for the day is severely disabled.
Yeah.
It's a disability.
Okay. Well, since you're fine with that, that's what I'm going to use. Anyway, so you have various disabilities, and how did you navigate that during university?
Well, university is the reason I got diagnosed.
Oh.
There's something about the structure of high school and the fact that I got lucky that my high school, we had a specific period during the day for doing homework, which was lovely. So I did all of my homework at school, and then I went home and I did nothing. I played video games. I watched 6 hours of Bleach. I did nothing important at home. One weekend, I tried to bring home a project to do for art, and I liked that project. I didn't touch it at all. It's amazing what's the structures of high school leave, and then you're left to the freedom of college, that everything falls apart in your life. And everything fell apart, and then I went, you know, I did some research online, and I went, hi, you know, this kind of sounds like ADHD, and it kind of sounds like all of the things I've been reading from all these lovely women that are like, wow, I got diagnosed after life fell apart in college.
You know what's funny?
I can't do all of these things. So I'm like, you know what? Okay, fair enough.
I always thought you had ADHD, and I thought it was diagnosed, so I never said anything. But another funny thing is that your younger sister, up until, I think, a year or two ago, didn't know I was autistic. I had a conversation with her, and I was like, yeah, I'm autistic. She was like, you're what?
I know!
And actually, I think your mom told her, because I was making a comment about something. She was like, oh, don't worry, she doesn't mean it like that. She's just, you know, she's autistic. And your younger sister was like, wait, what? And keep it, for the listeners, I've known Amy since she was pretty much in the womb, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
so,
because I've been friends with your sister since kindergarten, and Amy's 5 years younger, so you have known her since since before she existed.
Yeah. So this was not a she wasn't told or she didn't know. So I don't know why she didn't know. I don't know how she didn't know. She just thought I was kind of unique.
We're also very autistic in this household, so it's fine. I went down this path. I went, hey, I am definitely ADHD. Let's get this figured out. Let's start the very long year and a half long process to figure out what freaking meds work and what strength works for me. Before I could actually get stuff together and then like have enough focus in me to actually finish things and like be able to exist in general. Mm-hmm. And then it had the lovely project of like the side effect where, at least for my ADHD and the way it developed, and similarly to my mom's, you need some kind of coping mechanism when you're always like, you know, not wanting to do things late. And it's called, you develop anxiety. It keeps you on track. And then when you get the ADHD under control, the anxiety goes, well, I don't know what to do now, so let's just go for it, huh? And then you're like, well, this is a problem now, huh? I need to fix this problem now, too. So then you have to start an anxiety medication to get that under control. And then you get your life, then you kind of get your life together. But it's a fun track because it's like I started the whole thing in our entire family, and my mom's side of the family is very much like a we don't talk about that kind of stuff family. And then I started this whole train and I was like, okay, this is genetic and I know that. Whether they've confirmed that or not, I don't care. It is genetic, I've decided, and I'm stating that now. And as that, I needed to figure out where it came from. We're going to take one look at my dad and go, yeah, that's the autism right there. And I don't even need to explain anything else to you because that's just a fact. And you also know that.
Back to my therapist, but she was like, so your dad's the autistic one, right? And I was like, technically no. But yes.
Yeah. My dad definitely is. And then my mom's the ADHD, which makes a whole lot of sense. And I said that to my mom and she's like, I don't know if I am. And I'm like, I think you are. And then I just kept talking about it and wouldn't shut up. Amazing how that comes full circle. And then eventually one day she went, you know, I think you're right. And I'm like, yeah, I think I am. And she's like, yeah, I think I am ADHD. And I'm like, great. You want to do something about it? And she's like, I've lived this long. I'm okay. And I'm like, you know what? Fair enough. You got your techniques. It works. It's called everything gets written down or you forget it. I have enough anxiety to manifest a house, but I'm never late because of it. And you know what? Otherwise, I just keep going. She just never stops. But you know what? She's fine. So we're good. And then she starts talking to people and she talks to her family a lot. And she goes, oh, yeah, Aunt's ADHD, blah, blah, blah. Aunt's autistic. Talk about this. I don't care. We go to a family Christmas. I mention it to, like, anyone that asks about something. And I go, whatever. Who cares? Months later, the two of her sisters that are, like, the very much the most we don't talk about that kind of stuff were like, so Aunt's, like, autistic, right? Like, on the spectrum. And she's like, yeah. She's like, okay. So I was doing some research, and I think, like, one of my kids might be, and I think I might be as well. And I kind of had a couple questions, and I'm like, this family Christmas is going to be so interesting, y'all. I'm just going to unload my hyperfixation on everyone. I did so much research. Let's go. The whole family is autistic. Let's do it. Hell yeah. It's so funny just going, and you're like, one person figures it out, and then they reference it, and it spreads, and everyone's like,
yeah.
Wait a minute.
that's what happened in my house too, because I got diagnosed, and then my mom, while researching, was like, oh, that's me. And then she also looked at my sister and went, oh. And then
that's her.
I think there must be something on her side of the family, because I know I wouldn't be surprised if my dad had it, but I'm like, none of her other family members seem to have it. So it must have come from her biological dad. But yeah, I find it really interesting to look at families where it's kind of connected like that.
Because it's definitely, like, I don't know if they've proven a genetic connection at all, but, like, with the way that these things spread. Oh, lovely. Because I'm like, the way that these things spread, it's gotta be. Which is just wild, because, like, in my family, we have an ADHD and we have an autism, and they come together. And I have, like, I'm going to say, like, 75%. ADHD, 25% autism. I'm going to put the middle one at like a 50-50, I'm going to say. And then I'm going to put the youngest at like probably a 60, No, she's probably like an 80% autistic, 20% ADHD.
Really? I wouldn't peg Amy for autistic at all, actually.
Why do you think she never realized you were autistic? This is why we went to this. I'm looping back to that story that you said, because she is pretty good at reading a room, but there are some things that she just, if it's right there, it's just not in her brain.
That's
She's got more of that than she does ADHD, which is very interesting to me, because they haven't proven that those two are related, but I'm convinced that
autism and ADHD are proven to be related.
Lovely, because I'm like, I'm convinced they are one like genetic thing. It is one thing, and it either swings this way or it swings that way. And sometimes you get a little bit in the middle. You know, kind of like gender chromosomes end up, where you have one and you have another, and sometimes you have three, and sometimes you got two of this and one of that, and like, who knows? Mm-hmm. But like, they're all coming from the same place.
They
just have a different focus.
All right, and we've reached the 1 hour mark. I have two last questions for you.
Yes.
First, is there anything we haven't talked about that you want to talk about?
No.
No, we got it all.
This is my only one word answer I'm going to give you the whole time, because I came into this going, we're just going to see where it goes. So I'm good.
We're good. Okay. Then my last question for you, is there anything you'd like to say to any other creators out there? So maybe someone who wants to start, or just in general, anyone who's just looking at creator stuff.
Have fun with it. I know that's the most cliche thing that people say all the time, but it's the most important thing. If you're not having fun with it, you're not going to want to keep doing it. And especially for anything creative whatsoever, it's not going to work properly. And you're not going to feel good if you're not having a good time doing it. So make sure whatever you're doing, you're having fun with it. And if you're not having fun with the way you're doing it, maybe you got to change the way you're doing it or how you're doing it or whatever. But like, and also don't feel the need, as I said earlier with the seasons thing, don't feel the need to do all of it as like, not perfect, but like 100% all the time. Because like, we have summer where things are at peak production, and then we have winter where things are at nothing. And then you have fall that's in between and spring that's in between. So you have like fluctuations. So just ride the wave and have fun.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's a good answer and a nice way to finish off the episode.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining me, Anne. We had a good
time.
Thank
you for having me. It was a good time. It's a good chat.
I hope your migraine's gotten slightly better.
I'm distracted. I can't tell at this point.
Mood. Sometimes, no, I talk with my dietitian and she's like, you need to make sure that you eat at like regular times, because I think that you get distracted and therefore you don't feel hungry because you're distracted. And I'm like,
that's a mood.
Yeah. ADHD autism mood. Anyway. Yep. This has been another episode of In the Margins. If you like the show, check us out at RadioLaurier.com or at our Instagram page at In the Margins Podcast for more episodes. And if you want to find Anne, find her at Auroria on Twitch. So that's AuroriiA on Twitch. Thank you for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time.